Welcome to the Shame Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
Hey, welcome to the Shame Free Zone. Okay, we started a couple minutes late, but this is your host, Veronica Monet. I've got a very exciting guest tonight, and boy, I cannot believe the response on Facebook. We got, I think, about 25 people who want to weigh in on this topic. My guest tonight is Marianne Camerato, and she is the guest of, or I should say the author of several books have got very catchy titles here. The first one's called Skinny, Tan, and Rich, Unveiling the Myth and Hindsight. Unveiling the Myth. And then we got Hindsight, What You Need to Know Before You Drop Your Drawers. And you should see the cover of this last book, What You Need to Know Before You Drop Your Drawers. If you happen to be a friend on Facebook, go over to my wall right now. You will see a link to her website, and you will see this amazing cover of the book as a beautiful pair of legs with the panties coming down. So, Marianne, thanks so much for your patience. I'm sorry we got a little late start here, but we're very, very happy and honored to have you here in the Shame Free Zone.
Not to worry. It's great to be here, Veronica.
Now, I understand that you've actually been a guest on a lot of TV and radio shows. Do you have your own radio show now?
I do. I've got about three of them currently that I know of. And, you know, that's what guys say when they ask how many kids. So I get to say that with my radio show.
That's kind of strange, and I have two, so I understand.
Yes, media is one of my great loves. So, yes, I do. I have two weekly shows on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 10 a.m. Pacific time, and another one called Heart Talk Radio on Wednesday nights that I host with Christine Carlson and Yvette Schnerhogan.
And you've got one called Marianne Live as well?
I do. I interview folks like Ram Dass and Rhianne Eisler and John Gray and sort of all the leading edge thinkers and psycho-spiritual folks in the world, like Don Miguel Ruiz and all that. And then on Thursdays, my husband and I do a show called The Power of We, talking about creating more connection, divine, sacred connection on the planet and in relationships. So
and you've also got an advice column on the Beverly Hills Times.
I do. I'm their relationship advice columnist. Go figure. It's so much fun. The questions are absolutely fabulous, and people are so vulnerable and open, and it's really a privilege to have that as part of my job.
Well, before we launch into this juicy, juicy book and all the comments on Facebook, can you tell us a little bit about your, apparently you give people certificates of responsible relationship?
I do. You know why I do that? My husband and I, several years ago, kept getting approached by people about our relationship, and we would get asked questions like, are you guys for real? Come on, you're not that happy. Nobody's that happy. And then we started getting a lot of feedback like, how do you do it? What do you do? What's your secret? And, you know, we actually do have, not a secret, but there are six things in particular that we do and continue to do that really are the foundation for our really great, healthy, juicy, wide, spirit-based, fun relationship. And we thought how great it would be if we offered that as a program for other folks, just as a fundamental sort of like relationship 101 program, and you've got to be certified for it. Never mind that 50% of the folks who are single, 300 million Americans, half of them are single, and dating online. What a great way to distinguish between the folks who are just looking for some booty call and the ones who actually want a healthy, fulfilling, sustainable relationship. So go get CORE certified. And so we did. We created a program which is now certified by the state of California, and we actually teach it to healthcare professionals. And it's a lot of fun. It's really deep, meaningful, and insightful, and it offers you tools that you'll have for the rest of your life, never mind creating a deeper relationship with yourself. You really do call in a better quality of relationship for yourself.
Well, I think that sounds. Now, how long did you say the program is?
We've got it on demand now, so it's you can do it right online. Used to be you had to come out and take the course with me live, but now you can go to corrcert.com, corrcert.com, and take it right in the comfort of your own home. It's approximately 5 hours, but broken into digestible bits. There's a diary, a log, and if you are a healthcare professional, you can get your CEU units. It's a really fabulous program. And then you feel like, hey, I'm core certified. Never mind that, you get a little insignia. So when you are shopping around looking to take some folks for a test drive, right, trying them on for size, you get to see, hey, somebody's done some work on themselves. And that's really important, unless you're playing around. For folks who really want a relationship, a good one, a lasting one, it's a great way to tell that somebody's really on a path and taking relationships seriously.
So, well, and that does bring up an interesting concept here, and which is, I mean, it says things you need to know before you drop your drawers. That kind of suggests, I think, to a lot of people, certainly as people here on Facebook, they're thinking like one-night stands. And yet you're talking about certificate of responsible relationship. So does that concept extend to one-night stands, or are you just talking about long-term committed relationships?
You know, I never try to make that distinction for people. What I do is I speak to this. When do you want to find out the person you're with has just escaped from jail? When, for example, do you want to find out the person you just made love to is HIV positive? When do you want to find out the person you're with who you think would make a great husband is already married with three kids? When do you want to find out the person you're with, fill in the blank? So it's really up to you. If you don't care, then you probably don't want to buy the book because you don't care, right? And you're just having a good time. I think one-night stands are relevant if that's what you want. I wrote the book because what I noticed in the last 25 years is most of us fall into the category somewhere in between a one-night stand and maybe knowing for sure, you know, I'm not sure. I know I want a relationship. I don't know if I want to get married again. Somewhere in the middle, but folks who want a good quality relationship. So I really, again, I don't have a preference. I'm not into judging anybody what they want for themselves. I think it's great. But I think it really does ask people to consider their actions and take responsibility for the consequences, you know, paying attention. What do I want?
Well, you know, and we can even put a different spin on that because, you know, the whole take responsibility for consequences can sound kind of onerous or heavy for some people. But, you know, I want to make sure that people know that when you spend time looking at what your boundaries are, what your true core desires are, what your standards are, and if you're able to communicate those in a compassionate and honest fashion, that you actually, even if you were engaging in something, you know, like a three-way or a four-way, you increase the ability to enjoy that encounter by about 1,000%. Then, you know, over when you go into it blindly without, you know, having this ability to connect and communicate. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Well, what I would add to that is, from where are you making decisions? I think that there are levels of desire and being aware. A different way to say that would be being aware of where your desire is coming from and being ultimately mindful of what you want your outcome to be. Like you said, if you want it to be more pleasurable, then part of that is communicating effectively. Effective communication is laying out there, what do I want? And also recognizing that there's somebody else in the equation. I mean, if you're just masturbating, you know, there's no communication that is necessary, really, except with me, myself, and I. But when you include other, I think what you're saying is exactly true, and I think optimal when we do, you know, put our truth out there. What do we want? How we want it to be? And then also leaving room for the mystery, you know? I think there's only so far we can go in terms of creating an optimal scenario, and then, you know, all kinds of things can happen. Chemistry can shift. It can diminish, it can expand, you know, all kinds of magical things happen, but setting ourselves up to succeed is what I'm all about.
Well, you know, so here I'm going to start feathering in a few of these many, many comments we got on Facebook here. And I'm not going to use last names just for those of you who are listening in here, not tonight because probably some of the responses have been pretty transparent, so I'm just going to use first names. But we've got Wayne here who basically says that by talking beforehand, he feels that it could lead to serious boredom and second thoughts.
By talking beforehand at all? Like, so...
He just wants to hurry up. And, you know, I'll go ahead and say it. He said, I put a rubber on and fire away, then ask questions afterwards.
Yeah, that's definitely one way to go. And it's, you know, if that's working for you, Wayne, rock on with your bad self. You know, I think that that is definitely... I don't know, a popular way to advance into the dark. And again, you know, I'm a results girl. So I wrote the book because the folks that I've encountered over the years, you know, get bored with that too. You know, it's like that loses its mystique. And eventually, you know, how many times can you dip your wick where you go, wow, that's kind of like the same as it was the last 300 times I did that. But now I have AIDS, or now I'm just really bored. And, you know, so, I mean, you know, it just depends on what your goal is. What motivates us? What are you really moving towards? Greater connection? Do you just like getting off? I mean, again, it really just depends on what it is you're really wanting for yourself.
I love the shame-free approach that you have here. We've got Joseph says that he would add no psychotic behavior history and positive energetic connection to the list. Energetic connection, I can see how one could be able to ascertain that from a first meeting, but how would you possibly know if the person was going to have psychotic or behavioral problems?
Ah, very good question, Joseph. And I think that there are a number of questions asked creatively that you could help you ascertain this information. One of the really graceful things that I do is, aside from rifling through somebody's medicine cabinet, if you're, you know, just meeting them for the first time, or grabbing their pocketbook, or seeing that their eyes are clearly dilated because they're on meds, is to gracefully bring up the subject of their family, talking about family connections and somehow making a joke about somebody who's a whacker in your own family. You know, everybody's got the wacky cousin or this or that. Just kind of feeling around. If you're only looking for the one-night stand encounter, I'm not sure how big the psychotic element would play out. But if you're looking for a longer-term relationship, I would go that route, delving around into the family history, because oftentimes mental illness is, hereditary, genetic, or biological. These are, again, hypotheses on my part. I am not a psychiatrist. However, I have had a vast amount of experience as a therapist with all different kinds of folks. So, yeah, I would ask lots of questions. As a matter of fact, in hindsight, what you need to know before you drop your doors, there are a list of no less than 14 questions you should ask. Among them are about mental health and how to do it, you know, gracefully.
Well, you know, we've also, this is apparently a hot topic. We've got an instant message coming in from Terrence, and he found a girlfriend on Plenty of Fish. I'm sure you heard of that dating website.
Mm-hmm.
He said that she was on all kinds of meds, and mm-hmm. it was screwing up her head, and he loved her, but not anymore because she was slicing her wrist and cutting her hair off. Obviously, you know, somebody with some very severe problems there. But let's back up a little bit to the online dating thing, because you're talking about once you've actually been in somebody's house, maybe you can go through their medicine cabinet. He knows that she was on meds. What are there any, you know, maybe things he could have looked at that would have helped him back out of this before it got too far?
Yeah, one of the things I always recommend people do is have a list of non-negotiables. And like my girlfriend and colleague Eve always says, Eve Eschner-Hogan, we want to make sure these aren't preferences, that they're in fact non-negotiables. For me, prior to getting married, I did not want to date anybody who was a practicing addict or an alcoholic. no offense against them. Lots of my friends are at different stages with, you know, messing around with medication and whatever. But spending my every day in and out with somebody who is medicating themselves was a non-negotiable. I wasn't interested. So those are questions to ask on a first and second date, not directly, again, very respectfully, just kind of checking out, you know, somebody's behavior, their history with medication. Are they drinking heavily when you're with them? Do they like to get high? You know, you're clever. If you can get somebody to have sex with you, you can certainly find out if they're on drugs or not. And listen, here's a statistic I love to tell single folks that a friend of mine, a colleague rather, just came out with. He's in, his name is Alan Pease. He lives abroad in Australia. And apparently, for every single person, statistically, there are at least 1.45 million possible mates for you. So let's not get bunged
up. How many?
1.45 million.
Wow.
Yes. So this is a good odd. I mean, you know, we don't, some of us feel like it's last chance hotel. It's not the case. There's 7 billion people on the planet. We don't need to get hung up with that old paradigm that there's the one for you. There are lots of ones. There are lots of people that are potentially good fits. I would just take time to really make that list of non-negotiables. Find out what really works for you and what you just won't have anything of, and find out before you get intimate. It's really more difficult to negotiate this jazz after you've had sex. People get really attached and sometimes have a tendency to get a little wacky after they've gotten attached. So it's better that you find out beforehand, especially if you've been around the block more than a few times. Why waste your time? Why waste their time? You know, go find somebody who wants to play the same game you do, who likes to have their bell rung the way you do. It's just really not worth it at some point, you know?
You know, it's interesting that you say that, to find somebody who's on the same page as you, because Vivian has a concern here, which is that if she's looking for no-string sex with someone, that she wants to be sure that they're also after no-string sex. And she says, I don't want to hear them say, I've wanted you for years, and I'm so glad we're finally together, because that, you know, is not her idea of a casual one-night stand. Mm-hmm. But she says that it's kind of, she's had to learn this the hard way, that repeatedly, you know, when she thought she was having no-string sex, that somebody was, you know, getting attached. How would you recommend that Vivian or someone in her same situation, you know, be able to decide, I'm not going to have sex with this person because I think they're going to get too attached?
Yeah.
What are the signs they could look for?
Yeah, let's drop into a little bit of a deeper conversation, and one that is steeped in how we are designed as human beings. Most of what we experience when we meet anybody is 98%, or maybe a little bit less, but not much, is precognitive, meaning everything you need to know about that person has already registered in your body. The rest of it is all the sort of mental machinations that we go through trying to negotiate some kind of external circumstance. So what I'm going to say to you in this scenario is to go back to what your body already knows and trust it. If you have the slightest inkling in your body, and this is sometimes takes a practice. I have a CD series that helps you develop your intuition so you can really practice this. But your body never lies. It knows. And if your real sincere desire is to be with someone with no strings, then you can feel it. So if that's not working, the next step is a little bit heavier, and it requires somebody being a little bit more sophisticated and wanting to play in a more sophisticated realm of understanding how people and dynamics work. And that would include taking responsibility for the mirror that you're getting. In other words, if you're putting out there that you only want one-night stands and you are repeatedly getting feedback from folks that want more, you may want to self-inquire and ask, sit with yourself quietly in a kind of meditation and say, what part of me is wanting what I'm actually attracting to me? And once you address that and heal that, we call those secondary gains. there may be some subconscious material at play. There might be an old historical paradigm getting in the way, some love imprint you learned as a kid getting in the way of what you really want for yourself. And those are worth investigating if truly what you want is just a one-night stand and those other things keep showing up. So those are two paths that I would recommend she explore.
Well, you know, and as if on cue, we've got a comment here from Nalina who says, knowing people first is more present. The Tibetans think that you should wait one lunar cycle before having sex and know why you're having sex. Then you can be on the same page.
Yeah.
Back to our comment from Wayne, who just wants to put a rubber on. She thought his comments were hilarious. She said, however, most sex in society is an adrenaline rush, a pressure ploy, a way to perform, a way not to be seen, a private fantasy. It's anything but being present. In the long run, though, being present is a great way to be. It means you cleared the emotional history from your past. You had a talk about who you are and what you really want to do. You find a partner in spiritual awareness. And then she says, otherwise, just knock back a few beers, rubber up, and mount.
Yeah, that's really funny. It's a very good overall gauge on what's happening out there. And I think the posture that I like to take, the deeper I go along my journey and path, is to really not have any judgment about where anybody's at with their experience. There's a fellow who I adore called Martin Prechtel. He's a real shaman, and he talks about people's experience in terms of dream. So you come into this dream, and we must learn to respect each other's dream. Like, this is what I'm mocking up for myself. And whether you've chosen a spiritual dream or one that you're really learning, like first time on the planet kind of stuff, first time with a penis kind of thing, you know, you're going to want to get a lot of mileage out of that guy. But if you've been here before, you're an older soul, and you're here to learn different lessons, then you're probably going to be more inclined towards a more spiritual path. There are so many different ways to play this game, and what I have found is doing my best to have a sort of a non-judgmental context for people to explore what their truth is. And because what I have found, one of those universal truths, is that everybody really knows. They know what makes them expand in their heart, and they know what makes them contract. They know what creates connection, and they know what doesn't. Now, whether that's conscious or not, that's part of our journey, and each one of us has a different journey. In the meantime, I think it's really important that, backing up to the original point, which is taken responsibility for the reality that you do create, that you are conscious of. If you're wanting this, then go create a plan, execute the plan, and set yourself up to succeed. And the other part of that plan, though, is in relationship. Make sure that the person that you connect with is left intact or better off. That's always my sort of measure of navigating through the world successfully. Are you plussed by having been with me? If not, let me clean it up, learn from it, and move on.
I like that. So this kind of falls under the do no harm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
It's way better, I think.
Jerome likes the title of your book. He says that one of the things he wants to know about a partner is how sexual they are.
Yeah, that's a good
question. What things they will and won't do.
Yeah, so, wow, that's an interesting question right out of the gate. I might warm up to that a little bit. I think there's a lot of merit in that question. Sexual compatibility is something that comes up a lot for people. As a matter of fact, I did a television show going out on the street asking people, are men really more sexually driven than women? And I was, frankly, flabbergasted at the myriad of responses everybody had. As it turns out, no. Everybody's different. I think this is a very, very good inquiry and one that you should take some time to find out the truth of which. Here's why. Oftentimes, especially in our culture in today's world and for the last 8,000 years, by the way, women have been predominantly been offered two roles, the mother or the whore. So what that means is, and as it relates to this question, is that the seductress has many disguises because the imprinting is so intense. What does that mean for Jerome? What it means is that oftentimes I find that women will say just about anything, hoping to seduce the man into being the provider or the security she really longs for unconsciously. So it's not like she's doing it on purpose, but the drive is so strong biologically, the social imprints are so strong that this is just the drive. So educating yourself to that, you can really learn the women that are just wrapped and wired sexually, and they've got a strong desire and more testosterone from the ones that are using their sexuality to try to find a partner that would be a good provider or caretaker or someone to father their children. And this is where a lot of guys get into trouble. They don't know the difference. It's really worth pondering.
I think I call that the Hormadonna complex, but that whole thing about where women are having to try to pretend to not be interested in sex when in fact they are.
Yeah, and vice versa.
Or to not be experienced, even if they are. To not be prepared, by carrying a condom. It really puts a huge communication gap between the genders.
I agree. I think inquiry is my favorite line of execution at every turn. I would say stop, drop, and roll. When in doubt, stop. Turn your attention away from other to yourself. Drop inside yourself and listen to your body. Your body never lies. And roll around in the possibilities and choose something that benefits everyone.
Wow, I like that. Stop, drop, and roll.
I learned that when my son was going to kindergarten, and it was
okay,
a fire
let's do
drill.
That again. So you stop focusing on the other person, drop into your core.
That's right.
Get in touch with your feelings. And what's the roll part?
Roll around in the myriad of options that you have and choose the one that benefits everyone.
Very nice. Very nice. So we get back to that whole thing about taking responsibility for ourselves.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
Yeah, and I love your focus here on leaving people better than you found them.
Yeah, or at least the way you found them. I'm always a fan. Like, let's sprinkle a little love. You know, give me something. I'd love, we're generally always moved, physics laws said that anything that touches anything else affects everything. But we do have a choice if we want it to be a positive or negative experience on some level. So I think intention is really important. You know, I want you to have a good time too. I really do want you to leave plussed.
Excellent advice. Once again, I want to check in with the listeners and let you know that if you are itching to actually ask Marianne a question yourself, you can call in live. You don't have to just keep instant messaging me on Facebook. That call-in number is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756, and then you can talk to us live. But feel free to continue to instant message and post to my Facebook page, too. I will keep reading your comments. We're having quite a bit of fun with it.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about some of your other programs? So we know you teach workshops.
Mm-hmm.
And I should let everybody know where they can find your website. Here it is posted to my wall on Facebook, but you can also find it at www.maryannlive.com. That's Maryann with an E on the N, live.com.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have some workshops coming up soon that you want to tell us about?
Yeah, one of the things that we're doing a lot of right now are teleseminars, which are so fun. The live workshops that we're teaching are more intimate for couples. I'm sorry, I'm fighting some kind of a weird cold. More intimate one-on-one with your partner self-inquiry process. Oriented groups. My husband and I are teaching those in Northern California. If you'd like an invitation to one of those workshops, you can get a hold of us at info@maryannlive.com. Those are word of mouth and by invitation only workshops. These are really intimate kinds of experiences, and we hold space and help you drop into your own self-inquiry process with your partner. Then I do what are called core intensives, which are generally one-day workshops. We just got done doing one on Maui. We're going to be doing one in Northern California after the first of the year again. These are the sort of fast and furious invitation deep into the six steps that we talked about earlier, the first three of which are about who you are and what you want, and the last three are about going out with that plan and creating the relationship that you want and turning it into reality. And not in a self-helpy kind of way, really in a very fundamentally deep kind of thrusting, if you will, into and past.
Do you just do that stuff on purpose?
I love words like that, don't you? It's just so graphic. But really just, you know, pushing through all of that unconscious material into the realm where you can really start to navigate your way into better and richer relationship with yourself. By the way, the deeper your relationship with yourself is, the more exponential your opportunities become to be in right relationship with other people. Again, based on physics laws, it's just the way it is. But we love the core intensive because you come, you get turned upside down, inside out, and you're just different as a result. And then you become part of our core community. And not only that, all the folks that I work with and have on my radio show are our extended family. Those of us who are rocking the planet right now with teaching, who've been around doing this for a while, you know, there's not really any new wisdom. It's just we've all got a different flavor, a different bag of experience, and our different gifts in the way that we teach. So finding the teacher or the teaching or both, a combination of both, I think is a really important thing to do and to try things on, because it is like you have to reapply pretty much every day until you become enlightened, right? In other words, you have to keep at it every day. Like anything else, it's a practice. It's really, every day is an opportunity to practice. So the programs that we offer are really offer you tools that lend to a daily practice of staying awake on your path to creating sacred sex, sacred intimacy, better intimacy with yourself and a partner. And then we've got our core on-demand program. I've got my Thrive CD series available online to help you deepen your inquiry practice. I've got a DVD series. If you don't want to do the on-demand program, you can buy it and do it at your own pace, whenever you like. There's a workbook that goes along. We've got our relationship divination deck. I mean, we've got pretty much chock full of everything relationship, and you can find it all on our website, MarianLive.com. And if that's not enough, we've been doing an ongoing series, which I love, called In the Ring with Marianne, where I interview, at this point, we've been doing mostly bachelors, exclusively bachelors, where I show you or model for people how to interview single, available guys, or actually to find out, are they single? Are they as available as they say they are? And it's been no less than spanning from the outrageous to the deep and funny. There's been tears shed. Everything you ever wanted to know and didn't want to know about a guy in an hour is pretty much the goal. and how to do it in a way that he leaves feeling intact, expanded. He had a good experience and learned some things about himself. So I love doing it. The show is going on, and you can find out more about that at MarianLive.com as well.
So this is how to interview bachelors so that
that's
they actually
right.
feel expanded and happy and enlightened when they walk away?
That's right.
That's pretty amazing. I got to say, Marianne, I've never heard of that one before.
Yeah. I call it interview. I-N-N-E-R. There's a real art to sincerely being interested in who somebody else is. The challenge is most of us have such a heavy agenda. You know, we really want something from the other person. So most of our behavior is designed to seduce them into the web, right?
Right.
To get them to want me, get them to like me, take care of me, validate me, pay for me, you know, whatever. There's always the negotiation for external power. Well, The real trick is to fall so deeply in love with who you really are and really get that you are part of greater humanity and call forward your, you know, an ideal partner for you to share this trip with, and then be open to the process, and it's way more fun. Now, is it easy? Oh, hell no. It, you know, takes pretty much everything you've got to destroy your ego enough to even let the authentic you come forward. So that's the trick, but boy, it certainly is fun and a really incredible journey getting to that point right along the way.
You know, I would be remiss if I didn't bring this up. We got a whole bunch of people here, Lance and Hannah and Cho, probably some other names here that I'm missing out of this long list. Oh, Geeky Nymphs. All mentioned the idea of health stats or STD status.
Oh, you bet.
So is there a tactful, kind way to have that conversation? What if you don't like the news? Then what, you know, how do you let your face not just walk all over this person's self-esteem?
Yeah, this is one of those 14 questions that I ask. Well, the first thing you want to do is know what your, again, what your non-negotiables are. Are you interested in being with someone who has a sexually transmitted disease? If there's an absolute no, I don't care who you are under any circumstances, well, then asking a person straight up isn't even going to give you a straight answer, as we know. Thank you, Oprah, for having those 14 women on, who were only 14 women that man who had AIDS infected with his virus knowingly, right? So
wow.
It's not just about asking the question. It's from where. First of all, from where are you asking the question? It's a very sensitive matter, so certainly you want to ask it in a very sensitive way. But I'll tell you what, if we could all just slow down long enough, okay, let's throw folks into two categories as gingerly as possible here. If you fall into the category of I'm looking to get busy as soon as humanly possible and move on, that's one category. But if you're actually looking for a partner, someone to share your life with, potentially even turn it into a long-term relationship, then they're those people, okay? The first category, yeah, that's a rough scenario because you need to move fast and you need to be able to decipher whether somebody is telling you the truth or not, which means that you've probably done this before and have a pretty good idea of how to be crafty and ask those questions. So I don't think those questions, I think the people who are asking you this question fall into the second category. They're the ones who are a little worried about offending somebody, right? You don't want to really wreck that fragile chemistry. So here's what I recommend for folks. I recommend that as soon as you start to feel like, wow, this is somebody that I could spend my life with or spend some time with, or I'm interested, I'm definitely interested in taking it to the next level, then you really do need to put that mature face on and ask the tough questions. Do it with grace, and you can even say straight up, you know, this is a really awkward question. I was just tested recently. I know it's the mature thing to talk about, but my sense is, look, we both have some feelings for each other, and if we're going to be moving into this realm, you know, let's talk about this. Because if you can't ask that and you're going to let somebody's pee-pee touch your pee-pee, and what I'm saying to you is, if you can't ask a question like that, but you can do the naked wild thing, then something's wrong. You know, it's like you have to be able to be grown up enough, if you're going to be all intimate and share your sacred sexual parts, then, you know, you need to be able to ask the tough question for everybody's sake. And trust me, asking it is no more awkward than getting it, but everybody's better off. So suck it up, be gentle, be graceful, and ask the question, better now than later.
Well, okay. Just suck it up, huh?
Yeah. Nobody's ever told me, there's no real trick sometimes. What it is, it's about being honest and being graceful. You know, there's no great way to ask the question. The worst thing to do is to not ask.
Yeah.
And if you do actually, if you've created some intimate experience with someone, you know, you're going to create an opening. You're going to.
You know,
to.
I got to tell you, though, Marianne, my experience with couples, even in long-term relationships, with people who are just dating casually, people that are long-term committed, by and large, it seems like it's a conversation that they have afterwards.
Yeah, well, that's why this is called hindsight. What I'm saying is, when do you want to find out somebody's got an STD before or after? That's why the suck it up part. See, we're addicted to being comfortable in the Western world. Most of us have really lost our edge. We've gotten soft. We think everything should be like on television. It's just not realistic. You need to get some backbone. For sure, if you want to be in a relationship, you need to develop a set of chops. You need to be able to tell the truth when it matters. You need to be uncomfortable, or you get what you get. You get a lying, deceitful person or kind of relationship dynamic where people just stop telling each other the truth or don't even start that way, and the relationship folds. Well, you can have that, or you can do things that are uncomfortable up front and develop a really strong bond where, you know what, yeah, I'm not comfortable asking this, but I know it's the right thing for both of us.
Right, exactly. So, okay, let's say they suck it up. They ask that question. What do you have any advice for them about how to handle the fallout? Like, is there, you know, if let's say, and of course, if the news is good, there isn't really any fallout.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, oh, great, we're both clean. Neither one of us has anything. But that's a bit unrealistic, given that about anywhere from 1/5 to 1/3 of the planet is now infected with genital herpes.
Right.
So that means that if you were in a room with 5 people, mm-hmm. at least one of them, if not 2 of them, is infected. So probably the odds are pretty good that you're going to have an uncomfortable conversation. How would you advise them to proceed?
Oh, well, that seems pretty easy. I can even tell you, I've had this conversation with so many clients, particularly women who do break the news to the guy, and the guy says, you know what, I'm really not interested in being in relationship, but I really love you, I think, you know, or I really like you, and I think we would make great friends, and that's kind of crushing, and then they move on. So the person, or my client in this case, one in particular, stands out. The last time this happened for her, you know, she was really disheartened, but she always had respect for somebody being honest versus just disappearing. You know, they changed the form of their relationship, but she found out that this was beyond the guy's bandwidth. I think that not everybody feels that way, first of all. Some people either have it themselves, like you said. You could find somebody else who has it. I know there are clubs out there. Or find somebody who's open and says, hey, as long as we use a condom, I'm good with that. It depends on the person's need to have skin contact if you haven't had children. I mean, there's other variables involved. Again, the best approach is, I think, swift and with heart, and to be really clear about what your non-negotiables are as soon as possible and before or after. I mean, certainly before you have sex with someone, there's less at stake. You might have a bruised ego and someone might get uncomfortable, but be as graceful as possible and have heart. And typically people really respect that. I found very few people that, yes, it stings, but you move on and that's the way it goes.
So basically, this is a conversation you need to have with yourself before you have that conversation with another person.
Absolutely.
To sit down and say to yourself, okay, what if I really, really, really like somebody, but I find out that they've got herpes?
That's right.
Because, I mean, there's really only 2 diseases that you can't get cured. Well, not entirely true. You could have warts, genital warts, or herpes or AIDS. But those are like the 3. That,
right.
You know,
right.
Which could be, if you decide, they're going to be deal breakers.
Right.
And then to know how you feel about all 3 of those.
Yep.
And then, of course, the other thing I think that you have to do is establish, you know, some standard about whether or not you think you can believe You know, Vivian here, for one thing, said, no offense to those recommending getting health stats, but do you really think they would be accurate? In my experience, everyone believes they are clean, even if they've never had an STI screen in their life. Much safer to demand a condom use than health stats.
Yep, and that takes me back to a value proposition, and you sort of brought it up when you said, look at, you know, you need to have this conversation with yourself. Even more than that, at some point, again, folks, all due respect to the folks who fall into my first category, which is, look, I'm just having a good time. I'm not looking for a long-term relationship. That's a different conversation than the one I'm going to talk about. If you're in the second category where you're really looking for a partner, you are the type of person who's more inclined to be monogamous, you're looking for a longer-term relationship, at some point, or, you know, as early on as possible, I think it's always a great idea to really come towards a relationship from a value point of view. In other words, I really value honesty. I really want this. I want that. I'm into monogamy. It's sort of like, you know, knowing who you are and what you want, and then moving towards the situation versus the other way around, like you said, like, you know, the old school paradigm is that chemistry is a litmus test for anything. You know, chemistry is a litmus test for, guess what? Chemistry. That's all. Chemistry is an indicator that you, of two things, that you and the person have a greater likelihood of having offspring that will survive, or B, that your psychological love imprints are compatible, your neurosis and their psychosis are compatible, or however you want to put it. Chemistry is no indicator that somebody is a good match for you, and growing up and understanding that and maturing beyond that is an important thing to do at some point if you really want a good long-term relationship. And included in that is also, you know, understanding that not only people may come to the table sick, hey, what happens if somebody strays or somebody gets ill after or AIDS occurs later? Look, we're only here for a brief time on the planet. We want to be as informed as we can, as clear about who we are and what we want as we can. And again, really moving in and out of relationship with integrity, I think, is really optimum.
It certainly helps you sleep better at night. And I think the other thing is that you get better results. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like going to the store and saying, I'm not quite sure what I want, but it's going to be kind of something like this maybe. Or going in and saying, this is exactly what I want, and this is exactly what I'm willing to pay for it.
Yeah. And there's an old master who rocked the planet. I'll keep his name off the books right now because he's a pretty controversial character. But nonetheless, he did say something pretty profound. You keep doing what you're doing, you get more of what you got. How about that?
And it's true. That. Oh, there's another one. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
That's the updated version, right? Who hasn't done that? Here, I like my, and then we can even add to that, the lady walking down the street who falls in the hole, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so there's a lot of versions. We all know, either wake up, do the thing to create what you want, have a plan. And that's what hindsight's all about, knowing who you are, what you want, and having a plan to execute that, creating what you want.
I think that's awesome. I really do. And I one of the things I've really enjoyed about this interview is just how open you are to all the diversity, all the different opinions and approaches and objectives, you know, from the person who is looking for a spiritual connection to somebody who is really just looking to, as you said, dip their wick.
I grew up with brothers.
Well.
You know, there it is.
Yeah, well, and,
well,
you know.
Thank you.
Men and women and transgenders, everybody perhaps capable of having that vast array of feelings there.
That's right. Well, we're all human. We're all brothers and sisters, and we're really made of the same stuff. Just trying to have an experience, a spiritual experience in a human body, and I'm really trying to develop my own compassionate heart, and I'm probably more capable of being a witness and a teacher by being as open and compassionate as I can. I know for me, I don't generally move towards judgment. I move towards love.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. And you know what? Derek has a really sweet comment here. It says, I love listening to you guys.
Oh, blessings to you, Derek. Right.
Absolutely.
On. I love that. Thank you for tuning in.
And thank you, Marianne. You've been an awesome guest, and just really, I love how the title of your book just really stirred the pot.
Well, anytime. It's been a real pleasure to be here, and I wish everybody every blessing they deserve, and I wish you all sweet dreams wherever you find yourself on your path at this time.
Thank you. Once again, listeners, I want you to go check out Marianne's book. It is called,
Hindsight. What you
Hindsight.
Need to, yeah. What you need to know.
I look at that rear end, and all I can say is behind. No, it's hindsight.
Right.
What you need to know before you drop your drawers.
Yeah.
Marianne Camerato, thanks so much.
Yes.
And just to let you guys know what I'm going to be talking about next Monday, we're going to actually be talking about ecstatic orgasmic birth once again, but we're taking a new angle on this. Janice Barcel is going to be joining us, and we're going to be talking about empowering fathers at birth. So the discussion is going to go in the direction of how we can get fathers much more involved in the birth of their children. I think you're going to find the show very, very exciting. And I also want to let you know that I am embarking on yet another little tour, not straying from Northern California, but in case you are listening in Northern California, I want you to know what cities I'm going to be hitting. I will be in San Francisco on the 12th. And the 13th, and then down into Santa Cruz on the 13th and the 14th. I'll be up in Napa on the 14th and the 15th, and then going way up towards Gurneyville on the 15th and the 16th. So if you happen to be anywhere along that path or the cities in between, like maybe even San Jose, give me a buzz, or you can text me. My cell phone number is 415-407-2932. That's 415-407-2932. You're welcome to call me while I'm on the road. I will be doing house calls. House calls for what, you ask? I'm teaching sacred sex and anger management. Okay, thanks so much. If you need more information about that, you can check it over at sexwithoutshame.com. That's it for the Shame Free Zone. Talk to you next Monday.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you liked what you heard and you want more solutions for your love life, please call me toll-free at 888-903-0050. Once again, that number is 888-903-0050. I am the only person who answers that line, and I am usually available Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also visit sexwithoutshame.com to discover more of what I can do for you. And remember, your secret is safe with me. Sering kesepian.